main thing I am here for is to introduce Guy Miller to us. That's good to hear. A little bit of woo-hooing around the room. It's always good fun. So as a church, we're part of Commission, which is kind of a family of churches, part of New Frontiers, a family of churches together. And Commission is led by Guy, who is married to Heather. They're based in Bournemouth at City Gate Church, where Guy's recently handed on the leadership. Guy leads Commission for us. And did you mention, did you talk about the regional celebration that's coming up? 12th of June in Portsmouth. It's the closest it'll ever be to us, I think. So, which would be great. Guy will be speaking there. It'll be a fantastic evening. But it's our privilege to have him with us this morning. So keep your ears open. It's going to be a good meeting. He's got a good message to encourage us with today. So I'd love to introduce Guy, but not just for all those different things, but also just as a friend, really. A friend to me and a friend to our church. And all those other things are great. But in friendship and family is better, you know? Do you know what I mean? And I love that that's who we are together as a people. So let me now particularly introduce not just, you know, the guy that leads Commission, but my friend Guy Miller. Let's give him a welcome. Give him a clap. Thanks, Steve.
It's great to be with you. I've not been used to preaching twice on a Sunday morning. It's a bit sort of get your head in gear, and if I sort of repeat myself, I'm thinking, am I repeating that? Have I just already said that? So it's great to be with you. I hope I can impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is always at the core of apostolic ministry, to visit a church. It's great to see a room filled. It's too full. You're going to have to find some space, aren't you, because this is great. And I want to really encourage you in your faith this morning in terms of what God wants to do with you. And one of the great challenges in Christian life is that you never stay static. God's always moving on. And that's a bit annoying at times, isn't it? And as preachers, actually, I love telling people to move on. It's great. It's great to go. I mean, I could start to prophesy this morning about individuals that should move on, and you're all going, please, please don't. You've stayed too long at this mountain, now move on. Yeah, depends who it is, yeah. Perhaps Steve should come and prophesy. It wouldn't be prophetic. But actually, when you preach this stuff, you've got to live this stuff. You can't just tell people to go and do something for God if you yourself won't go and do something for God yourself. We've been in Bournemouth, which is a nice place to live, for 16 years. And at the beginning of this year, God said to us that actually, you are not to be like God spoke to David when David was going to build the temple. And God says, actually, it's not going to be yours. It's going to be your son's. God spoke to us saying, Guy and Heather, you have assembled, you've finished the building project and got some things ready. Now it's time for you to get back on the road, which has been quite a journey this year for us. So everything I'm really encouraging you in terms of faith this morning and stepping out of the boat, sharing your faith, going and taking some risks for God, we're trying to do ourselves. And we'd appreciate your prayers in that. We're really enjoying it. It's quite an adventure. And I want to talk this morning about to bless and be a blessing. I was praying, as we do, for a church when we come in to visit it. And God said to me, I saw a picture of a steam train going through a hill, through a long tunnel, three carriages on this steam train puffing away, and the church going through. Sort of like, God, this tunnel seems to take forever. And I feel there's something of that spirit that might even be in this meeting or some of you this morning, is when we're going to break through. And then this train breaks through, and it's a different vista. It's a beautiful vista. It's completely different from what it was before. The countryside, there's a whole load of new fruitfulness and orchards and things that you're seeing, mountains you're seeing, rivers, and all kinds of opening up of God's great adventure for you as a church. And this train pulls into a station, and this is what I believe will be your next year. It pulls into the station, and the new carriages are added. In fact, the whole way in which it's aligned is reshaped. Even the lead engine is put somewhere different, and other engines come and join and be part of this great adventure. And I feel God wants to say to you as a church that all of what's gone to this point in time has been in preparation for a much greater adventure. There are raw materials that God will gather from this area that will go across the world. There are people that you will see saved beyond Chichester and Bognor and Midhurst into Haven, into Portsmouth, up into the nations. I believe God is going to raise up many, many people to go, and this church is going to grow. And I feel God wants to enlarge your faith in this. I believe that God would want to say to you, are you ready for the next great adventure? Are you ready for what it's going to take to see God's purposes unfurled? And just looking at Joe, because I like looking at people and seeing if the Holy Spirit's on them. I feel for you, Joe, there's a sense of like a lion tamer spirit God wants to put within you. I believe there's a leadership gift in you that God's developing, and I believe it's going to start with a few big lions that you would naturally want to run away from. And God would say, actually, there's a courage in you. There's something that's in you that God is going to release. And you need to speak to things that would cause you to back off and cause you to be fearful. I believe they're people, but actually beyond the people, there are spirits operational. And you need to be able to bring them under God's heel, as it were, and to release a stronger leadership gift in you. I believe the sort of nice Joe that you are, and you obviously are a very nice young man, I believe will come a bit to an end as you muzzle voices and roars and bites within the church and you bring things under God's control. So there's a real sort of sense of an adventure for you that's just beginning to unfurl. So I want to talk about to be blessed and to be a blessing. How many of you have come this morning to be blessed? Can you put your hand in the air? Okay, some of you, half, no, three quarters of you not. Okay, that's fine. Well, let's call it a day. And then we've definitely satisfied three quarters of the church and we can go home happy. You see, it's a good question to ask sometimes. What am I here for? Why am I coming to church this morning? What am I hoping is going to happen in a church? Because the truth of the matter is, every believer should gather on a Sunday with the people of God and cry like Jabez, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders. I believe God's heart is to always bless his children. I really do. And I believe if you can understand that this morning, I believe it will transform your life. You come to church and you come late, you come tired, you come a bit disappointed with the week, and you're thinking, oh, not Guy Miller. But behind Guy Miller, behind the worship this morning, is a God, a Father who loves to bless his children. And the word blessed is not a very English word, is it? You know, oh, bless. I mean, it's a bit lame, isn't it? Oh, bless you. Well, thanks very much. I wanted something a bit more than that. And it actually, the word blessed biblically is a lot more than that. It's wrongfully sometimes translated as happy. God wants you happy. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. That can be church. That can be charismatic worship, to be honest. But it's superficial, like kids in a candy store, kids who go and visit the fun fair, parents give them the lollipop and say, ah, be happy, be blessed. That's not our Father in heaven. You see, when you read the Beatitudes of Jesus, he talks about blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, blessed are those who are persecuted. And he's not talking about a superficial, hey, have a lollipop, be happy. That wouldn't satisfy those in Iraq today and in Syria today who are in prison, some who have been martyred because of their love of Jesus Christ. The root of the word blessed actually goes back into the Old Testament, where it means to be strengthened in your inner being, to come to a place of alignment and peace in God, that you know God is your Father and you know that his blessing is always on your life and that you are secure in his hand, that no matter what the enemy puts in your way, nothing can take you out of God's perfect plan in his hand. And in that place, brothers and sisters, you are blessed. And he wants to underline that this morning. And I don't think there's a psalm that more illustrates it than Psalm 84. And we're going to look at it in two headings. We're going to look at, firstly, blessed are the worshippers. Because if you want to be blessed by Almighty God, you'll be blessed in worship. As you worship him for who he is, you will know this blessing. And then we'll look at blessed are the walkers a little bit later on. So let's read these wonderful scriptures. In fact, why don't, if you've got your Bibles, actually, it's hard with versions, isn't it? Oh, maybe I'll read it. You're all ESV. Are you? Well, you come and read it ESV, because I've got whatever I've got, but it isn't ESV. This is something new in terms of, even I don't understand what I'm reading sometimes. I thought this was... Okay, you all got your ESVs. Okay, here we go. How we're going to read from verses 1 to 4. How lovely, I can't hear you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Amen. Okay. This psalm begins with a cry of intimacy. This psalm says, actually, I'm making my way to Jerusalem. I'm making my way to the house of God. I'm making my way to the temple of God, because in that place I know that I will find that security, that intimacy, that blessedness that my soul craves for. We are made, brothers and sisters, we are made for intimacy. We're made for it. And there is a longing that can never be satisfied. We can cram our lives full of junk, hoping for that peace and that tranquility in our souls. But actually, there is only one way we can find joy and peace and blessedness. And that is where God is, where God dwells. And the psalmist looks around him and notices nature. And he says, well, actually, it's not just people. Look at the swallow's nests under the eaves of the temple as the columns go up. They come back year after year. They bring their babies that hatch, and they come back the following year and have their young. They make their way annually back to the place where God lives. And wow, there's sparrows tweeting around, picking up little crumbs that fall from our tables. Even then, they are hungry to get into the place where God is and God's people are. And that is the sense of God wanting to quicken faith in terms of the people of God, that actually to be together as the people of God, where God dwells, is a hunger that we need to make sure is satisfied. And I would say this, that when you look at people today and you look at church today, there is a lack of hunger to meet with the living God. There's a lack of wanting to be in the place where God dwells. We've got blue tits in nesting just outside our living room at home. And we're watching them. They've got babies now, so they're going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. So are our cats, funny enough, going backwards and forwards. Every time I throw a bucket of water, they go, and then they come back again. The blue tits are moving backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards. They're feeding their young. They're hungry. They're wanting to get back into that box to make sure there is genuine encounter. It's that type of thing the psalmist is saying should characterize the people of God. We should have a longing, a hunger, a thirst to be where God is. That means on church, we don't come, oh, what time is it? We come into the presence of God. We're desperate to be where God is. And that should characterize us. And when we gather, and here's the challenge for particularly British people, when we gather for intimacy. We gather to encounter a Father who loves us and beckons us to come in and know that love. Charlie Cleverly from Oxford has written a book on the song called The Song of Songs. It's on The Song of Songs. And obviously The Song of Songs talks about a man and a wife and is a love song. It's intimate. Great thing to have between a husband and wife in terms of that love and that cry of intimacy. But it's also an allegory in terms of Christ and the church. And in this book, he wonderfully depicts what it is for the believer today to live a life of worship and intimacy with the living God. And what this book does is it develops not only your love for God, your adoration in worship, it gives you a wonderful view of how God loves to get intimate with us, his children. That God comes looking through our door. God comes knocking on the door. God is crying to my dove in the cleft of the rock, on the hiding place on the mountain, let me see your face, for your face is lovely. That's the God that we worship. He's longing for intimacy. And the Song of Songs starts, incredibly, with, let him kiss me with the kisses of his lips, for his love is better than wine. Now, most of us in the room are British. And if God does something wonderful this morning, we like to go, oh, I say, that was jolly good. Let's just give him a round of applause. Well done, God. Well done. That was great. Let's have another round. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much. That's how we, as British people, express our worship. We're nervous of excitement. I am. We're nervous of embrace or touch. I mean, I am a typical Brit. When I went to India, when they try to hug me, I'm thinking, hang on, what's going on here? You don't hug me. You know, it's a handshake. Hello, how are you doing? No, not hugging. In Portugal, they want to kiss you either side of the face. Forget that. Who are you? I've never met you before. Kissing me? My wife kisses me. We don't do emotion very well, do we, as Brits? I know there's the odd exception, and that's one of the people we were praying that goes off on the mission trip to. But as a general rule, we don't do emotion very well. I tell you what, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit do it really well. They come running. The Godhead comes running to embrace us and to cover us and lavish us with kisses and to tell us how loved we are. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute that Steve and Joe are just starting to go out. And Steve's writing to Joe, and he's very British, and he wants to kiss her for the first time, which is right and proper. And so he describes what's going to take place. He says, dear Joe, I want to press my moist, creased facial orifice together with your moist, creased facial orifice. I want to pull tight our sphincter muscles and draw the flesh around each orifice onto each other's bulbous mounds in which to exchange saliva and breath. Now, I don't know about you. It didn't happen, by the way, in case you want to tweet this. It didn't happen. But it doesn't work, does it? And now, joking apart, I believe as evangelicals, I believe as charismatic churches, we can talk and preach a very good game about worship. A very good game about our Father and the love of our Father, the Father heart of God. A very good who I am in Christ. That I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I'm a son and daughter of the living God. We can talk a good game, but we can't sometimes enter into the joy and the emotion of what that means. And God wants to release us into that. Rodin's The Kiss, it's a small picture there, it's a beautiful sculpture, explores and celebrates the power of a kiss. Now, when were you kissed awake? I'll tell you when you were kissed awake, when you first heard the gospel. When you who were dead, you who were asleep, when beauty kissed the beast, you came alive through the gospel. As someone shared that Jesus Christ died and was raised to life for the forgiveness of your sin. In that moment, the Holy Spirit took that word and was kissed upon your brow, and you came alive and became a child of the living God. And in that moment, God filled you with his Holy Spirit. Or maybe it was a few days later when he filled you with the Holy Spirit and the love of God drew you into a life of worship and joy, releasing you into joy that you never knew existed. It bubbled up within you. And if you think this is a little bit arty or a little bit emotional, let me read to you the words of that wonderful Welsh revival hymn. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty river, pours incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. You see, that's the gospel. We've been kissed. A guilty world has been kissed by a Father in heaven, and he's brought us alive into his presence. And so I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, you are God's masterpiece. Okay, that's an NLT version of Ephesians 2 verse 10. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, you are God's masterpiece. You're not a workpiece, you're not a sort of a widget off the end of a production line as a Christian. No, you, there is only one of you. And the beauty of who you are and who God made you to be is unique. And God's love for you, his passion for you this morning, wants to reach out and touch you. He wants you to enjoy intimacy with Almighty God. He wants you to be blessed this morning. And I'll tell you this and just say this. Blessing is not found outside of God and God's purposes and God's people. I do worry sometimes, because it's now 1 in 3 that the average Christian in the UK goes to church. 1 in 3. That's a serious committed Christian, not Christians in the widest sense. 1 in 3 is the average of what people go to church. Now, we're getting busier and busier and busier. There's no condemnation in this room. I know what it's like. I haven't been to church for 2 weeks myself because I was on holiday and we didn't go. So I know what it's like. So I'm not trying to bring any condemnation here. But I want you to know this, that where the people of God meet, God promises to meet with them. That actually when we come into God's presence as a people of God, God promises to be there with us and to bless us. And therefore, this is a priority. We shouldn't just drift into church as if, well, you know, things happen. And I've seen too many Christians over the 25 years of ministry I've been involved with just drift out of church, just become lazy about getting into where God is. And so make this a priority. Make times like this a priority. Times together like a priority, because Revelation 2:4, when Jesus addresses the church at Ephesus, he says, you have abandoned your first love. You see, this is a great place to come and express love. Express it to God that you love him, and God expressing it to you that he loves you. So let's prioritize that. When I finish this morning, in a few minutes, I would love us to pray for those who just feel a little bit far off from the Father's love this morning. Feeling a little bit distant, maybe it's sin. Need to get your confession and get your life aligned with God. Maybe you've had a really tough week and you're thinking, oh, do you know what? I just feel like I'm going through the motions. Well, this is a great place to encounter God, to be filled with God, to hear God say to you again, I love you. I'm for you. You're my masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And to do good works is where I want to finish this morning, because the psalmist continues and says, if you want to be blessed, it's not just in receiving, it's actually in walking. It says here, blessed are those who, verse 5, whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears to God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on your shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one, because better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Now, what we have here is we have a picture of the people of God. The psalmist pictures them leaving their homes and making their way annually up to the festivals up in Jerusalem. They're on their way and they're walking, and their walking is in community. They're walking and sharing life together. They are under threat. Always on open roads, there's the threat of wildlife, there's a threat of bandits, and yet together they walk, believing that they are going to encounter the living God up in Jerusalem. There's an excitement to them. But as you follow the way in which he tells the story, he says they walk through the valley of Baca. He tells them that there are places where they need to dig wells to make them springs where water can flow, and that God himself does his part in sending rains to cover it with pools. As they went, they would sing songs, the Psalm of Ascents, Psalm 120 to 134. But the pilgrimage was always costly. It was always costly. Pilgrimage is defined as a long obedience in the same direction. And of course, many of you may have read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress in terms of the challenges of what it is to walk the Christian life, step after step, year after year, faithful in God's purposes. So blessedness for the Christian is not in half-hearted or weak-willed obedience. If you want to know God's blessing on your life, you need to understand this, that life in God can be challenging. Sometimes God takes us through valleys of Baca. Sometimes we don't understand it, but things go horribly wrong. And we keep putting one foot in front of the other, because we know that God is faithful. We know that God wants to bless us. And I've just walked through a week of the valley of Baca. I've walked through a week where there's been bad news and bad news and bad news. And it's difficult. You feel like giving up. You feel like thinking, it's too dry. It's just too awful. We had, many of you will know Greg Haslam. Greg Haslam is next Sunday, I'll be preaching at Westminster Chapel. And Greg Haslam is stepping down from ministry because of health, taking early retirement. He's been told he must never preach again. And if you know Greg, that's all he's ever wanted to do in his life. And that stinks. It's hard. You'll know Malcolm Kays and Pam working through myeloma at the moment, and seeing him this week. I've seen both of them this week, Heather and I did, and take him out for lunch. It's not good. You feel the pain of what your brothers and sisters walk through. Another elder's wife died just on Friday night in the Commission family, and completely out of the blue, promoted to glory. And you walk through a week like that, and you get up on a Saturday morning, and you burst into tears with your wife, thinking, did I sign up for this? Is this what it is? And God, the Holy Spirit, comes and says, yep, you did sign up for this, because you set your heart on pilgrimage. And actually, we're all pilgrim, all heading for that celestial city, where there is no neither illness, there's no mourning, and all of those things will be a bygone memory when we get into God's presence on that final day. But in the meantime, we walk. But as we walk, we don't walk grumbly, we walk in the life of blessedness. We transform valleys from dry, barren, dusty places into places where there are springs and waters and wildlife and abundance. because God himself is in us and on us to make us a blessing. So we don't just receive God's blessing this morning and go, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, I want so long to be blessed. I want to know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I then go with that blessing to a dry and thirsty world and say, actually, you want to touch me? You're going to touch blessing. Because I have been blessed, so you will now be blessed. It is your lucky day that I am walking into your shop. It is your day because you're going to handshake me today. And in shaking my hand, you will be blessed. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we carry the divine DNA. We carry the Father's love. So jolt us and we spill over love and goodness and grace and mercy and kindness. Because we're God's. And nothing can take us out of God's hands. And so we live that life. I love the way, let me just finish by saying this. I love the way in Acts 17, when Paul is in Athens at the Areopagus and he says to the people gathered there, God has determined the times and the exact places of our living or dwellings where we dwell. God did this so that men would seek him, reach out and find him. Now, if we could just get hold of that one verse today, that should transform. The person living next door to you, they are such blessed people. Because anything that you have is theirs. You're going to be a blessing by living next door to you. It's such a blessing. Or is it? You're not looking convinced. You're thinking, I might even speak to my neighbor. Yeah. You... at your university, you, at your workplace, God has in eternity past determined that you, at this time in history, at this place, live and speak and live next door to the people you are. And he does it for a purpose, that you will bless them. And in blessing them, they might reach out and go beyond you and find the God that you worship. I found this again and again and again. I love, and this is my practice. I hope it becomes your practice. I walk into town and I'm on a journey. I'm on an adventure. I want to bless every single person I meet as I go into town. Now, most of that is in saying, hey, thank you so much for serving me. Really great fruit. Really lovely fruit you're doing out of this world. I want to bless people and thank them and encourage them. But actually, I'm looking for those moments when someone says, I haven't got my wallet. Don't worry. You're sitting behind a saint. You're standing behind a person who's got plenty of money because I'm a son of the living God. I'll pay for your groceries this morning. Go and be blessed. I want to be that person everywhere I go, including car parking. They're coming in the car park. I've still got an hour left. You're not allowed to do this. It's illegal. But you open the window and say, be blessed today. Have free parking. Just in case there's a traffic warden in the mix. See, we are called. God wants to bless you today, to fill you with his love today, to encourage you today, to enlarge you today, to forgive you today, to heal you today, to save you today. Why? To transform this world and make it a place where people encounter the living God through you. You're his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. And to touch you should be to touch Jesus Christ. And so I want you to go and be blessed today. I love the way it says in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Or as Eugene Peterson translates this, stop living in stinginess and miserliness, in fretfulness and sullenness. You're rich. Act like it. I think that's a great translation. You're rich. You are so rich, every one of you. I don't care what your material circumstances are. You are rich. Now act like it. Go out from here and go and bless somebody today and make it your habit every day to bless. Words, begin with words, but let your actions follow that. And I'll tell you what, you'll transform Chichester. This room won't be big enough to hold two times the amount of people because people want to say, well, who is it you're in? Hanging out with you is brilliant. You know, we've just had a bit of work done on our house, on our garage. A bit of roofing was getting rotten. Our neighbour, both sides, came to us and said, you're not moving, are you? And we said, no. Oh, phew, we thought you were moving. We just so loved, both said this independently, we so loved living next door to you. And that isn't because we're brilliant. It's because we are Christ to them. And we love our neighbours and we're kind to our neighbours and we invite our neighbours in our home because I'm longing that they reach out and find him. So here's how we're going to end. We're going to get the worship group back up. So worship group, if you want to move your little legs and get up here. We are going to pray for, as we're going to sing a song. And during this song, if you are in the valley of Baca today? So if I'm sitting with where you are today, I'm responding to this message, okay? So you're not putting yourself, I would be responding to this message because I want to be blessed. I want to know God's blessing on me, having had a real tough week of feeling just emotionally wrung out. I want to know God's blessing. But I don't want to just be in the Dead Sea. I don't want to come to church and go, God, the Holy Spirit, fill me. Let me know my Father's love. Whoa, this is great. And then go out. I want to be filled that I might pour out God's blessing to the world. And so if you also, same group of people or a different group of people say, do you know what? I want to put this word into action. I want to go from here so excited, looking for someone to bless. I'm on a divine conquest mission to bless somebody today. And I've never lived like that before, but God helped me to put this into practice. And you're thinking, actually, I just want someone to pray for me that I would put this word into action. Then you respond and come up the front as well. And so we're going to have a number of people, maybe 10, 20 of you, who will want to say, yeah, I want to be filled. Yeah, I want to be a blessing. Well, you can come up the front and I'll pray for you. And I'm sure there's a ministry team that will pray for you. But come up. We'll come up during the singing of this song. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're yours. Thank you for this divine romance, Lord, this love affair we've got. Thank you, Father, that you so loved us that you gave us your one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, you gave us the Holy Spirit, a deposit that guarantees our inheritance. And we pray, come Holy Spirit upon your sons and daughters. Let this word be watered in the hearts of men and women, young people, and let it bear fruit. Fruit that would be hundreds of people being saved in Chichester, in Bognor, in wherever, haven't, Lord, all around this area, Midhurst, because, Lord, to touch us is to touch the living God. To touch us is to touch blessing. As we've freely received, we want to freely give this morning. So I pray, Lord, let the response honor you. Lord, bless this church. Lord, may it come through a tunnel into huge, huge dominions of blessing and harvests and crops being harvested and fruitful orchards. Lord, I pray, release loads and loads of men and women into leadership. Lord God, come this morning and let our hearts say yes and amen. Like Jabez, yeah, I want to be blessed. And responding to that divine, loving invitation, I pray it for your glory and for your name, we pray. Amen.